Do you see the situation getting better? Any of the changes making a difference? The crime element obviously is a concern. You hear more and more about that downtown. Just start with the big picture. How's this coming?
Well, we just Churches United was having troubles, maybe going under, and they got together and got the faith leaders together to help sort of shore that back up. That really helps. That's one of the key elements. They have 120 people they house, so that helps us quite a bit. We're going to move the warming program out of downtown. We're going to move it to Public Health Building on 25th, basically trying to alleviate some of the downtown traffic that people have all the time. That serves anywhere from 30 to 50 people a night, and it's chairs that people can sleep in sitting upright, basically. And last year we served 8,000 counters, so it seems to be a problem that people continue to have. I don't think we're going to have camping much longer. The camping element is just not working. People are not respecting the rules. They're doing the right thing, and we're going to have to try to find a different alternative for that.
Couple of things to unpack there. Let's start with go backwards on the camping element. Michelle Turnberg yesterday showed me a story that a citizen that was out for a walk sent her of the trees being cut down on city property and shelters being built. Is that one of the problems you're talking about with this camping experiment?
Well, quite a bit. And well, actually, we cut down a lot of the trees and underneath the bridge and such. We cleared a lot of that area. If there's somebody cutting more, they shouldn't be. But we cleared that out because there are so many trees. People could hide in the trees and do things in the trees. So our public works guys cleaned that all out this fall. That's much better. But, Scott, we went in there last week. It took four truckloads to dump out. It's just dumped stuff out. And people keep coming back, and I don't know where they're coming from, but there's not the same ones that started. So this experiment is not working. So we're going to rediscuss that with the commission, decide what to do with it.
Okay, what was the experiment?
Well, we're having a hard time getting people into housing, into apartments, right? So that's part of the issues we're having. So we're talking about trying to do that. Now, a couple elements have come up that we feel we can start getting people into apartments. And we'd left that club could camp until we get them into apartments. But now it's looking like that people are abusing that privilege, so it's not working out the way they want. We do have porta-potties by the engagement center that people can use. Graham keeps talking about that, but we're not going to put them down by the river. That just doesn't make any sense at all. So what we need to do is to start working with people, get them into regular apartments. I mean, it's Strand and Pipcorn went down to something in Tampa. We're not going to buy $50,000 houses, put people in. That's ridiculous. You can put them in an apartment. So we're going to find places to put them in. Team's working this next week. We're going to sit down and start looking at the list and see where we can place people.
I was told one time by a downtown engagement officer that there is a restriction on housing vouchers, which they can then use for an apartment. That you have to be homeless for a year before you're eligible for that. Do you know that to be true?
I don't think it's a year. There are some restrictions on it, and then it's how you define the homeless, right, gets into there. But we feel that we have a pretty good policy on vouchers that we can utilize. So I'll check into that, Scott, and get back to you. But most of what I find is we do now have vouchers available that we get people in. Difficulty is drug usage and or alcohol abuse is part of the issue that sometimes people get into that disqualifies them. So they call low barrier, high barrier. If you have a high barrier, then it makes harder to get people into apartments.
And when they're in apartments, who's paying the bill?
Well, that's usually a federal program that has vouchers. So those are how we utilize that, is we take vouchers. Housing Authority has some, other people have some, and those vouchers then pay for it.
And do the availability of the vouchers and then the actual, vacant apartments match what the need is?
No, that's part of the problem. We don't have enough vouchers, and that's part of what gets us into difficulties is not being able to find funding to get people into the apartments. And then a lot of people sometimes say, well, yeah, let's just get them a job because there's jobs out here. But a lot of these people have either addiction problems or mental health issues. And I think you and I have talked about this before. The mental health issue is quite a big problem in our community where we don't have enough providers to treat the people to give supportive housing. So we're looking very hard at supportive housing. We have a set up where we could possibly put 22 individuals in, and we're working on that right now with the Housing Authority. That would help free up a lot of space, and you put a person in a supportive housing, they'll do a lot better.
What's the number? on any given day? What is the average amount of people that are somewhere in the city limits of Fargo and homeless?
800 to 1,000. And what you have is you have a lot of people that are, we call couch surfing. They're not necessarily on the rolls that you would see them or know that they were there, but they're doing different apartments, getting in with different people, and moving around like that. Churches United has done a great job of stabilizing some of the people, the women with children. They help out that area quite a bit, and they manage something like 250 people. And then the old days, as you might recall, we used to go church to church. We don't do that anymore. So what we do now is we work with all our housing partners to see where we can place people, get them protected.
You mentioned earlier the element of, obviously, drug use, mental illness, that component as well, where no matter if you have a voucher, a program, or whatever, that there's going to be an element that, that is not capable of taking advantage of that or just doesn't want to take care of it. You've talked for some time about, you know, additional services in that regard. Where's that at?
Well, what the chief would like to have is what we call maybe a diversion center. So when you have somebody who's obviously in a mental health crisis, rather than have my police officer sit with them for 3 hours, you know, trying to talk them down or talk them out of stuff or do different things, they have this in Texas. That was the thing that we were to go look at. We actually bring the person over to that diversion center, have mental health experts there that take that person and they talk them out or work with them through the crisis. Then your police officers are free to go back out on the street. And that has worked successfully in many centers throughout the nation, and that's what we're going to work with the state on. Can we do something like that so it's not jail, not elsewise? Other thing, as you know, the jail has always been a problem for us, but by next April, the new wing will open up. That will help us tremendously because right now the jail is oftentimes full, and people who you'd like to place in jail, you can't put in jail. So we feel that that will help unbottle a lot in our community and make our summer next summer much better.
And as far as the diversion center, what needs to happen to have that fall into place? And when do you anticipate something like that opening?
We're working with the state on that. We'd like to try to do that this next year. So we'd like to move the downtown engagement center out of the downtown. And then we'd also like to work with the state on trying to get it's kind of a diversion mental health place for people. We'd like to work with them through funding through the legislative session this year.
You said previously that this isn't just a Fargo problem, that it's West Fargo, it's Moorhead, and sort of Fargo bears the brunt of all that. What kind of metro cooperation have you been able to muster?
The city leaders are helping out, and the county leaders are stepping up. But what we need to do is, you know, the county gets social service funding from the state. Can you divert some of that to help us out? Can we go to the state? And we met with 18 legislative people last week and just started talking to them about this is a social issue that we need help. And you know and I know, the governor talked the other day, the number one state in the nation that's having people in-migrate is the state of North Dakota. We're number one in the nation. Well, you're going to get good and bad apples when that happens. But we need to have the state step up and help us in the mental health area, building a brand-new state hospital, but you still need regional care or regional help. And where we feel that state needs to help us out is some funding to help us place up a center that would help us. So I'll look to you to help us when we go out to the state. And Scotty, that might be like 10 or 12 million to help us build a center. I think it would be fantastic.
10 to 12 million, you say?
Yeah.
You'd look to the state for that. When you talk about the city leaders, other city leaders being willing to help and county leaders, is that monetarily as well?
Yes, monetary as well. We just met with Joel Bennell yesterday and Tim Flacco and started talking about some of the needs of the community and are going to continue that conversation. We also talked about some of the needs in the jail areas, the law areas, different things that need to be done. And we're getting some traction where people are beginning to realize, yes, this is a community problem. We all have to sit in and help out.